This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
So what are you looking at? What? Oh, you snog. He's gonna sit there and smirk and not say anything, so it makes it sound like I'm with the fool.
Keep going.
Okay. 140. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. We always say my name is.
I know, people should know by now.
Yeah. Well, you listen to most podcasts and they'll be like, I'm your host, Mike, and you know, they'll name their title. You know, I'm editor in chief of something, yeah. And I'm so and so, and you know, we always say my name.
That's what my name is.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. You don't say your weight. You don't say your height.
You want me to bring it? Do like ring announcing, like coming down the aisle?
No,
hailing from the pines from the Tree Street district of Gardner, Maine. Weighing in at. I live in the Tree Streets.
Well, you do now, but you don't hail from there.
That's where I am from now.
But that's not where you were from.
That's like, where I am from currently.
Like, where would
physically, geographically,
Johnson hail from?
Miami, Florida.
But he's not there now.
I don't know. Is he
now? He's in Los Angeles, California.
You got GPS on it?
I do. As a matter of fact,
okay.
I go to the website Where to Rock Be Now.
Is it .com?
No, it's .org. It's a non-profit.
Ah, okay.
Come on, they're not making any money on this.
That's true.
It's for charity.
The Rock is making stocking easy, you know?
That's right, yes.
I mean, we can come up with something new if you want for next week.
I don't know. We'll probably have forgotten about it by then. It's only been 140 fucking episodes.
I'm not putting that much effort in. So, yeah, we are like, what, 14 weeks shy, 3 years?
Oh, something like that.
It's kind of nuts.
Yeah, that is.
Anyways, you're going to say so.
Nobody ever would have thought that we would have gotten this far.
I didn't think we'd do this many episodes.
No, I didn't.
I
thought we'd get like a couple of months in maybe.
And be like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
Right.
Instead, we actually kind of have a commitment.
Yeah. Should be committed.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So I don't have a lot of shows that I watch.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm gonna hold off.
No, go right ahead.
The other day I was looking at Facebook memories. And I think it was like, I want to say it was 9 years ago. Posted something about late night, nothing like a late night run to the store or shopping trip or something like that. And then you commented like, only made better when it's with your friend or something. I think I'm thinking about, oh, yeah, I was like, I got to run to Walmart. This sucks. Like right before Christmas.
Yeah. And you were just, and I remember that.
John, what are you doing? I got to run to Walmart. You're like, it's 11 o'clock at night. I'm doing nothing. So you want to go? Yeah, pick me up.
Yeah.
And then
I remember that.
And then my ex texts like, oh, glad that you guys are having a date. And then you wrote like, come on. You wrote something about like being number one in my phone. Because you were number or something like that, or one in my heart, and I'll be around longer.
Yeah.
It's true.
I was predicting
this. Because it seems like someone's jealous. And then you're like, well, but I'll be around longer anyway.
I saw the writing on the wall.
That made me laugh hysterically. I didn't want to share that.
Yeah, I can understand. Things have changed a little since then.
It's true now. I mean, that's true.
I mean, you could have put it up there and said, look, John's a fortune teller. Hey, John, how about the lottery numbers?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're better off.
Oh, tremendously.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, got a podcast.
Got a podcast. Talk about stuff that's not just our personal lives that no one else cares about.
Yeah. From what I understand before we started talking, because we've been talking a long time before we hit the record button.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, it's the opposite this week.
Yeah.
We're in our own version of Elseworlds because I didn't watch that many shows, and you watched a metric shit ton.
Yeah,
I believe.
Metric shit ton. Yeah. Yep. Well, again, I had time. I didn't have any schoolwork.
It was on your side.
School. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Ah, thank you.
My
hoped you weren't going to leave me hanging there.
I don't have a trainee. She's off at Metro class. excuse me. I don't have schoolwork. Finished up the semester. 4 A's and a B. 3.77. And nice. Thanks. And I don't care. As humble brag city, I worked my ass off. I want the adulation.
He's making hand gestures like bring it on.
Yeah. So I'm at work and I had time. So, but probably the biggest one that I watched as I finished up the Night Flyer.
See, I didn't watch any more of it.
Yeah. So I'm all done 10 episodes.
Was it good? I started watching the third episode, and then I found that I wasn't paying attention to it. And I was like, no, I can't have this be a background thing. I need to be watching this. So I stopped and said, I'll continue it when I can focus. But I have been completely out of focus this week. I have been just, yeah.
Well, it's okay.
I know there was some nudity in the third episode. I mean, it was sci-fi nudity, so it was like little bits of blurring and, right. You know, people standing at just the right angle, so you don't get to see no nips.
Correct.
But you get some butts.
Yeah. Or well-placed steam from the shower.
It's really good at that.
Between episode 6 and 7, there's an eight-month of time lapse.
Okay.
So at the end of episode 6, when episode 7 starts, it's 8 months later. Okay. So, I mean, that's kind of a good breaking point if you want to take a break for a little bit.
Okay.
There's a big thing that happens, and I don't think you've seen it yet. And it really made me go, what?
Okay.
And it has to do with the ship.
Okay. Tell me this, without getting into too many details. The end of the 10th episode,
sure.
Does that loop back around to the beginning of the first episode, or do we?
Oh, so how the beginning of the first episode ended?
Yeah,
we see that again.
No. The first episode,
the beginning of the first episode, where Gretchen Mol kills herself, slits her throat with the razor.
Okay. Yeah,
we
see that again.
We do see that again.
Okay,
it is not episode 10.
Okay, that's what I was wondering: is if it happened earlier.
Yeah,
or
it's not in episode 10. It's yeah. So it's kind of a misdirection.
Okay,
I will say this about the ending.
Okay.
I watched the ending of episode 10, and I went, what the fuck just happened? Rewind, watched it again. No, rewind. Watched it 4 times.
Wow.
The ending, like the last few minutes. I watched it 4 times. Hmm. And this is my conclusion after the end of that. Fuck you, George R. R. Martin.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to ripping that apart then.
Yeah. It's like, you know how someone will post on Facebook, like, you know how you like to call Facebook vague book?
Yes.
And that's what it was.
Oh, good.
Good. Thanks for the vague ending.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't moved by the beauty of it all, or, oh my God, it's so great, or whatever. Like, I wasn't moved by any of that. I was more like, fuck you, you fucking fucks.
You know, it's really funny. The past week,
yeah,
as I've been driving to and from work, or I've been, you know, doing my job, or, you know, just when I'd have an errant moment to think about things, or I'm watching a show, and I'm like, okay, how are we going to talk about this on the podcast? I started thinking, you know, maybe this week I'm going to try a little harder to not swear as much. Because, you know, I tend to be rather foul-mouthed. And I noticed that I already missed out because if people are listening to this, you know, I dropped an F-bomb earlier on. But I was like, you know, I wonder if I could, like, clean it up a little bit. Just kind of – because I've been hanging out with one of the guys from work. We talk regularly. And I've been to his house a couple of times. And he – like, one time he actually cursed at a video game. And he's like, I'm sorry for my language. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So I was like, maybe I need to lighten up a little bit. And now you just go off on this, like, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, maybe not.
So here's the thing. In my life outside of this, like when I'm at home, I try very hard not to swear.
Which, by the way, we're at his home recording right now.
Around my children.
Okay.
I
right upstairs from here.
He can't hear me. I got into a bad habit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Kate was correcting me, like, you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it. And then basically she'll tell me, you shouldn't do it, too. Don't do it. And I was like, fine. And she was right. I am smart enough to be able to use my words in a way which I don't have to use cursing as a way to get my message across.
Right.
Sometimes it's, you know, it's good. Sometimes cursing is good to emphasize what you're trying to say. Like a PG-13,
flavor enhancers.
Like a PG-13 movie. If you're using it sparingly, it's more effective when you do use it, as opposed to when it becomes an adjective or verb even, then it's overkill. So I try very hard not to. Even when I'm at work, I try not to. But when I'm around you, it's like...
Thanks.
Well, no.
It's not like seriously. When I'm around friends or when I'm around... It's when I'm around you.
When I'm around you, it's like the filters are gone.
I don't know if that's a compliment or if that's a testament to my depravity.
No.
Like, does that mean that I am such a shitty person that, like, being around me, you're like, I gotta fucking swear it's all coming out now?
No, it's to do with you and I have been friends for over 20 years. My level of comfort with you is in such a way that I'm just like, fuck it.
I remember when I was working at Linens and Things as a manager, I was the same way as you are with your kids.
Yes.
I had my, you know, everything was poop or, you know, darn it.
Yeah.
To the point where I didn't even realize it. And then one night we had an employee gathering at the bowling alley. We were doing like a Christmas party and it was after
hours.
Did you
do hours. The Fred Flintstone dance and lay down on the floor?
No, okay. That was just for you and Jay.
God, that was amazing.
But we're there and I like threw a gutter ball or something and I went, ah, fuck. And my employees just looked at me and their jaws dropped open and they're like, we've never heard you swear. We didn't think it was possible. And I'm like, holy God.
Oh, gosh, darn it.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, I didn't even realize that I was that ingrained in it when I was at the store.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, when I'm at work now, I try to do the best, you know, too.
Right. I mean, everyone swears at my work. It's just I work around law enforcement, firefighters, and paramedics, and we make horrible jokes about unfortunate things. It's how we deal with the stress and drama of our lives or whatever, and then we curse. The people curse up a storm. So I'm making it a point to not curse so much. And then I'm especially making a point to not curse around my kids and family and this and that and everything. But it's like when I get together with you, I don't have to filter myself.
Right.
I don't have to put that shield up. And maybe I should. We are trying to record something for public consumption.
Every week when I load up the podcast, I always have to like – click that little drop down at the bottom because it's always set on explicit. No.
Oh, yeah.
And I always have to hit yes. And this past week I've been thinking, I wonder what it would be like if I didn't have to hit that. Like, would it show up in a different part of iTunes? Or, you know, would we be on a different list? They'd be like, oh, they're clean.
We can put this over here.
And then boom, we're done. That is a dream that will never be realized. Maybe for April Fools or something.
We'll just make it a point to not curse at all. Yeah, we'll try.
That's going to be a really fun one to edit.
Well, we just work really hard editing ourselves. Be like, I mean, what is that all about?
Yeah. What the gosh darn it is going on here?
So the Goldbergs this week, which I don't normally watch the Goldbergs, but the Goldbergs this week, they're watching Die Hard.
It's
a Christmas movie. Okay?
It really is.
And there's a part in it where, like...
Die Hard's a Christmas movie?
Exactly. There's a part in it where he's like, you know, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah.
He says that. But, like, on the Goldbergs, it's edited to, like, yippee-ki-yay...
Mother, father.
No. It was something that's like Milford Flooring or something like that. Like, it was just completely...
Just ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And I was like, what? What does that have to do with anything? That's no way. And they're like, but that's not what he actually said. Because, you know, it was edited for TV and everything.
Right.
So it got me thinking of, like, when I watched Die Hard edited on TV a long time ago. You know, I got to say I missed the edited for TV. Instead, now they just blank out the swearing.
Mm-hmm.
But I missed the completely different voice trying to sound like that voice with, like, and this is my favorite one of all time was this Die Hard one. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. What does that have to do with anything?
Who's Mr. Falcon?
Is it because he's falling? Like, maybe he's flying? I don't understand this.
Oh, those were always so good. I always loved those.
Because,
it would, like, the audio quality changed.
Yes.
The voice was different. And you just, like, it would suddenly, like, cut out and then cut back in.
And when you have, like, people yelling and they're fighting, with each other, and then it's just completely, it's worse than an English dubbed movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you have cuts of the actual actor, and then the dubbed, and then the actual actor, and it's over this other person back and forth. It's like, they should have just cut this scene out.
Yes. Yes, they should have. Or just, like, one long,
But, yeah, like, forget you, I said, forget you, I forget, like, I can't even do it. But, yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon, what is that?
Like, you imagine some of these movies like Pulp Fiction.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Or Dogma.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I haven't watched that in forever. I need to go back.
When I worked at the video store, there's people come in like, you recommend a great movie for the... Dogma's a pretty awesome movie. Now, granted, I'm like 22, 21, 20.
Oh, yeah.
Dogma's a great movie. I loved it. Oh, yeah, Maggie, did you just recommend Dogma to her? Yeah, I did. She goes to my church. She knows me. Like, I don't tell you, man. They come back. The woman comes in. She looks at me. She goes, do you know how many times they said the F word in this movie? I have no idea. 96. 96? Yes, we counted the second time we watched it. Do you have any other movies by him? By this director? This writer? Yes, we do.
Now, let me show you to the good ones.
I could not believe it. He's like, 90. I'm like, 96? Well, wait a second. We counted them the second time we watched it. So,
good times.
Good times. So anyways, The Night Flyer. If I was trying to sell this to someone who hasn't seen it, I could not give it a good sell.
Okay.
I didn't hate it. There were some great moments. I did kind of get tied up to the story, and I got to the point where I was like, well, I gotta fucking see how it finishes now.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there was some good moments, but there's a lot of, like, moments. So.
Okay. So I won't. Well, I mean, over the next couple of weeks, there's almost nothing on.
Yeah, you'll have time to watch
I'll be able to catch up on that. There's a few things on my Netflix queue that I want to catch up on. And
oh, the new season of Travelers dropped.
Yes.
I didn't even realize that. All of a sudden, it's there.
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch that.
I'm going to watch the second season while I'm...
you're going to watch it again, you mean?
No.
Oh.
I watched, like, the first two or three episodes, but it's so long ago that I don't remember, so I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch them and then jump into season three.
Well, it's kind of funny. I was trying to remember how season two ended, and I went to Netflix to, like, read the synopsis, and I looked, and it says I'm only halfway through it. I'm like, did I not finish that?
You must have restarted it, because I specifically remember you telling me that you finished it, and that everything was awesome up until, like, the last 4 minutes, and then you went, oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
And you were really pissed off at the ending. But you never told me, which is
okay. Cool. All right.
Because we don't do spoilers. Well. Unless we tell the podcast people we're going to spoil it.
Yeah.
But with each other, we don't. Unless, you know, I message you and say, dude, you've got to watch The Rookie this week. Because I'm 20 minutes in and I'm thinking, this is an awesome episode.
But that's the thing. You're like, dude, I'm telling you, make sure you watch The Rookie. I'm like, I did. It was amazing. Except for that dick move ending. Yeah, I'm almost done. I'm halfway through. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Because like, I sent that message and I sent the next message.
Yeah,
and then
I saw the three dots and I'm like, what's coming? What's coming? And he's like, yeah, except for that dick move ending. I'm like, yeah, halfway through, send.
And I was like, oh my God. Oh, dang. I wrote, oh, dang. I'm so sorry. You're like, that's okay. I knew it was the mid-season finale.
So, while we're on the subject, let's talk about this. Because we've got to roll into that part as well.
Yeah.
So, the first half of this episode was fucking astounding.
Okay, first of all, the opening bit before the credits was awesome.
Was awesome.
When they're chasing the guy down, and they end up in the escape room, and they're locked in it. And now they have to, I thought, is this how the whole episode's going to be?
Hmm.
And they have to escape the escape room, and at first the guy's not going to help them, but then he decides he's going to help them. And then they manage to figure it out, and they get out, and then they're high-fiving, even the suspect, they're high-fiving everybody. And they're like, yeah, and she just goes, you're still going to jail.
Yeah. You know? But this episode, like, you see a lot of crime procedurals.
Yes.
And a lot of them have shootouts.
Yes.
We've seen shootouts in the show.
There's been shootouts in the show, yes.
But this was the first time that we had Nolan, you know, chased a suspect down, had him at gunpoint, and the guy had a gun turned on him, and he was like, throw down the weapon, and the guy drew on him, and he shot him once, set him ass.
Yep.
Now, a lot of cop procedural shows show, you know, suspects getting shot, and you just see them, like, you know, taking them away to the morgue, and, you know, you see the grizzled detective, and he's like, well, we're going to have to do this. No. This was the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
This one showed how traumatic it was for him, and they did it so well that they did a camera trick. Well, let me start with...
I made a point of making a note about that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They first off, he was stunned. Like, he was frozen in place.
Yeah.
And his TO came in, and she called, and she said, you know, forget the ambulance. He's dead.
Yeah.
We need to tell the watch commander. And then she said, you know, you're going to need to pick somebody to be, you know, to walk you through this. Because the scenes kept shifting. Like, he's standing there, and then the camera, like, you got this vibrational effect.
Yes, and the picture blurred a little.
Yep, and he's just like, he's, like, shaking a little bit, and then suddenly it clarifies, and time has passed.
Yeah, I put it as, my note was, every time he was kind of, like, in a moment of distressed unclarity, the camera kind of, you know.
It was like.
And it showed us, we're experiencing the lost time that he was experiencing.
Yes.
It was excellent.
Yes. So, you know, he's standing there, and they basically tell him, they're like, you need to pick somebody who's going to walk you through this. You know, somebody who's going to be not your ally, but somebody who is going to cover this with you. And he picks the captain.
Yeah.
And basically says, you know, I want the captain. And they're like, all right, you know, give us your stuff. Go home. You need to get some rest.
Here's the thing that I have a problem with, though. And maybe, and I'm not familiar with LAPD's, you know, internal procedures. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. But it seemed, it was odd to me how he was treated like a murder suspect. To the point where they closed down booking because he had to be booked, and they took mugshots of him and everything, which I don't.
That seemed a little bit odd.
Very unrealistic to me, because, like, typically, like, yes, there's going to be an investigation to see if it was a good shoot.
Right.
He has his body camera on. They have that to look at.
Yep.
You know, they're going to question him. They're going to invest. Yes, absolutely. An internal investigation is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they were treating him like he was a murder suspect, except he didn't go to jail.
Right.
So I found that odd. Like, why would they take mug shots of him?
The only thing that I could think was because of the climate of the world right now with, you know, all of the people who are up in arms over police action, police shootings, etc. All right? All right. That they were trying to take it more seriously. The mug shots, maybe, I don't know, getting them done now in case it turns out that it was a bad kill.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. He's not convicted. He wasn't sent to jail. They sent him home and said, you know.
Right. I mean, like, again, give me your gun. Give me your badge. We need a statement. Do you want your union rep? Do you want a lawyer? Yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
But it was just the mug shots.
It could have also been.
That stuff like that was just odd to me.
It could have also been just a promo for the show, because I'll tell you, that appeared on the next week on The Rookie sizzle reel.
Yeah.
And it was him getting his mugshots taken, so, you know, you'd be like, oh, who did he murder? So it could have just been for that, which is shitty if that's the case.
Right. But I thought the way they handled the story was awesome. The stress he was going through.
But it was only half the episode, and that's what kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I sent you that message, I was, like, right in the middle of it, you know, and he's losing time, and then the IA investigator comes in, and, you know, he's asking the question, and, like, it was good. I've never been in one of those investigations.
Right.
Never. But it seemed legit. You know, he's asking, he's like, how many shots did you fire?
Yes.
One, two. Was it one or was it two?
Yeah.
You know, and he was asking, did you have any non-lethal weapons with you? Yes. I had pepper spray, or, like, pepper spray or taser. I did. Why did you not use one of those? You know, it was like, he wasn't trying to be his friend, but he wasn't being a prosecutor.
Typically, when you see the IA guy come in, he's a cocky, arrogant prick who wants to put you away.
Yeah.
And this wasn't the case. This is a guy who was being fair and unbiased and was doing an investigation.
Yep. And it was the prodigy's father.
Yes. You're right. I did like that. I did like the fact that, like, you know, people were not everybody was on his side, but nobody was judging him that he did the wrong thing. IA wasn't assuming he did the wrong thing. They were giving him full faith and credit that this was a good shoot, and but we have to investigate this.
Exactly.
Even the captain, because he asked for the captain, asked for Gray. Can I get Gray? And they're like, yep. And even, like, later on in the episode, when Gray says, why did you ask for me?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, because everyone else would have told me no matter what happened that I did the right thing, and you would be honest with me.
Yep.
Am I having you ask me yet? Because I'm not ready for the answer.
Exactly.
That was great. Was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah, it was a great episode.
It was. The back half, though, it focused on Tim's wife,
Tim Bradford. Yeah, his wife,
and
got arrested.
Yeah,
yeah.
So now the detectives there, and Castle's TO got the tap.
She got the tap to be a detective,
And she walks in, and Tim's ex-wife is like, oh, you got the tap. I know how much you wanted it. You know, but she's still doing the twitchy thing because she's still
on rehab. Yeah, withdrawals. Yeah,
and so basically, they're like, "We need you to go to the next buy for your
boyfriend." She made a deal to talk to not get jail time, is what it comes down to, which isn't a surprise. You knew that was going to happen,
right?
And of course, they put her in a situation where she has to wear a wire. Mm-hmm. Tim doesn't want her wearing a wire because, like, you know, hey,
he's like, why don't you just shoot her in the head?
Exactly. And again, I understand that. And they're like, well, and then this is the thing I like. Well, she was a cop. She knows how to do this. She's done this before, da, da, da. And Tim goes, look, that's not who she is anymore. Like, that's not who, that's who she used to be. Mm-hmm. But I know who she is now, and that's not who she is anymore. It's a valid point.
Yeah.
Writing on this show is excellent.
It
this
is.
This episode was excellent.
It is.
Especially this episode.
These characters are really cool.
So that was no surprise. And, of course, Tim won. And then so she goes in for the buy. She gets the kilo.
Well, before the buy, she's talking to the TO, and, you know, she's like, so what's going to happen? And they're like, she's like, well, they're going to want to watch this guy for a couple of months, catch him buying other stuff. You know, essentially tells her he's not going to jail right off. You're going to go in there, and you're going to set the groundwork. But then, essentially, for the next couple of weeks, months, whatever, you know, you're going to be in danger. And they'll probably keep tapping you to do stuff. So she decides,
like, this is not the end. This is just the beginning of what they're going to have you do. Yes,
right.
That's right.
And so she basically, you know, thinks to herself and then acts on it later. You know, she goes to pick up the kilo and she's like, we could push more than this. And he's like, your boyfriend always said that you couldn't push more than that. And Tim immediately recognizes, he's like, she's trying to
get this done.
Yeah, she wants to finish now.
Yeah. And so she's trying to, so that way they have to go send the guy to go pick up more drugs. We have to follow him to get there, find out where his source is, which is genius on her part.
Yep.
But
also risky because then he says, sit with me for a while. And then he starts, you know, you look familiar.
Don't I know you from somewhere?
Yeah. And of course, Tim's like, we got to go in now. And they're like, no. And she even says, she's like, I'm a junkie, you're a dealer.
Yeah.
You know?
But Tim's theory is she arrested someone he knew. She saw him as a cop or whatever it was. And then essentially he goes at her and her camera goes out. Mm-hmm. And we don't know if he knocked it out, if there's a glitch or whatever. And finally they go in and there's blood on the floor and the bathroom window's open and she's gone and he's gone.
Yep.
And that's how that cliffhanger is.
Yep. And then meanwhile, over at Castle's place, his...
Like I always call him Castle.
His... girlfriend, who's not his girlfriend anymore, you know, the other rookie there, she came over to console him and they ended up sleeping together. And she says, you know, she's like, this was a mistake. It was a really fun mistake, but it was a mistake. She goes to take a shower and, you know, I really hate saying it in such a beautifully written first part of this episode, but now we get the cliche of, you know, there were two robbers in the beginning. They were brothers.
Yeah.
So now the living one wants revenge on Castle.
And, of course, knows where he lives.
Knows right where he lives. And the door happens to be open.
He hears a disturbance. He goes out to investigate. He finds the door open, closes it, and then...
The guy shows up, knocks him down.
Hits him with a bat or something.
Yeah. And then is standing over him with a gun, and Castle's like, no. And then the last thing that we see is him, we see a gunshot.
Yeah, we see, like, the exterior of the building, and you see the flash of a gunshot through the windows type of thing.
Yeah.
So we don't know what happened. And then it says...
But yes, we do.
Why?
Because right after that, they go, next time on the rookie, or January 8th on the rookie.
Yeah.
And you watch the guy drawing down on him. Castle knocks the gun to the side. It goes off. Then they start wrestling with the gun, and it's pointed up in the air, and then you see his girlfriend standing behind them with a gun in her bathrobe. So I'm like, you just killed the suspense. We know they wouldn't kill him.
See, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sharing it with you because I was so pissed off that I'm like...
So wait a second, because you got dicked over now, I'm getting dicked over?
Yes, yes you are.
That's what friends are for.
That's right. Because I know that you never see commercials, and with Hulu, they never show them.
They don't
time.
Show, yeah. I mean, like, there's the option to play the video if I want to. I just choose not to.
Yeah. I was pissed.
Sometimes that is a dick move, yeah. But
yeah. So you thought it was a dick move to begin with, just in the whole, to be continued. They literally put to be continued.
Speaking of that, I loved it on Grimm where they went, to be continued, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I always thought that was fantastic. But we're going to send, you know, go on a hiatus.
Yep.
It's always weird to me how shows now go on a hiatus around Christmas.
I know.
And then we get Christmas episodes at the end of November instead of, like, Christmas episodes around Christmas.
Yeah. That is
not live. I mean, they're filmed in advance. They could film shit and air it, but we don't want people to miss the episodes.
Holidays are a stressful time.
So we need good entertainment. That's why tonight on CBS they're replaying I Love Lucy Christmas and a Dick Van Dyke Christmas, because, you know, they have nothing original to put on.
Wow. That's old school.
Yeah.
So, I have to ask, in all the shows that you watched, did you catch up any on the guest book?
No. Nope. Nope. I did not watch any of it. I did see a commercial for it, though.
So you literally had a reminder and went, nope.
I had a reminder and I just went, ugh. I'm going to watch The Good Doctor instead.
See, I didn't watch The Good Doctor.
I'm all caught up on The Good Doctor.
Okay. Well, let me just say on the guest book, I thought this was the season finale.
Yeah.
They literally wrapped up all the storylines.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this was a really good way to wrap this season up. Like, it was awesome. The season itself was really good. I mean, I think it was almost stronger than the first one. We actually got some of the people from the first season come back in this episode.
Oh, nice.
It was really cool. Like, to the point where they have Garrett Dillahunt, but he's not there. He's, like, on a FaceTime on the phone. And he gets one of the best lines of the episode. And I'm not going to tell you what the whole context is. All I'll tell you is the line is, was that a vagina? And it was great. But there was like, there were just like the first one, there were stories running through the background. The story this time was so much better than the, you know, blackmailing the guy with the tape. You know, it's basically, you've seen the previews for it.
Yes.
The Asian girl just had a baby.
Yeah.
She doesn't know who the daddy is.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I do plan on watching it.
I hope you do, because, like, this episode, they literally wrapped up everything. They gave us answers to everything. Mm-hmm. People started going about their merry ways, but there's one more episode after this. They were, like, on the season finale. I'm like, how is that the season? This was the season finale. So, it's really good. It was a good season. Really enjoyable characters. I strongly urge you to check it out.
I will.
Because you liked the first season.
I did like the first season a lot. But I caught up on The Good Doctor.
Yep.
And,
I think I was caught up. What was the most recent one?
Airborne virus. They have to quarantine the ER.
I saw the previews. I haven't watched it.
Okay. All right. It's cliffhanger type ending, you know.
Do they say to be continued?
It doesn't, but you know it is. New Amsterdam.
Yep.
I finished that.
Okay.
You see, finished that?
Yep.
I don't know if I like the show. I like the show, but I don't know if I like the show.
Yep.
Okay. So you have the Indian doctor who's trying to reconcile with his kid, and he sort of likes Leigh that works down in the kitchen area. Mm-hmm. And then he's talking to her about all this money he has. He's going to buy his kid an apartment and this and that. And she's like, wow, that's like a really generous gift. Well, yeah. I mean, I've been a doctor for 40 years or 30 years. Like, I have this money. I just, you know, I got to figure out a way to use it, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, the next day, I need $2,000 and my cat's sick. And I'm like, man, really? And he gives it to her. And I'm like, is this really the route they're going to go? She's just trying to – I hope not.
I hope not, too, because she seemed like a nice person.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I've said this show. Like, I watch the show because I do enjoy it to some extent. But the hospital is a giant Mary Sue. And – of course, you know, he's sick and he doesn't want the regular treatment. He wants to go with the alternative treatment. And of course, he gets into the trial and yada, yada. And then I see, you know, the whole sister heart thing. I'm like, and then they give him the heart all burnt up and stuff. I thought it was going to be like the whole heart in the jar.
Right.
Because I'm like, that's a lot of ashes for a heart. This, you know, shit usually burns down, not burns up.
Right,
whatever.
Exactly.
And then they go to like the lake and then he collapses.
Yeah. And she's screaming out, somebody help me. I'm like,
well, no one's going to help.
You're out there by yourselves.
Like, literally, you could murder him now and get away with it.
Yeah. Or she would even have to just push him into the lake.
Yeah. He collapses all in the water. I couldn't go get him.
Yep.
He drowned.
Yep. He fell over the edge.
Yeah. You need a new director of medicine.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. The kids are all right. This is a great show.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, you should watch it. It's a funny, great show. I finally figured out who the mom is on the show.
Barry.
If I'm in plain sight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't bother looking it up. I just was like, I know her from somewhere. I'll figure it out.
She was also in Dicky Roberts' Former Child Star. I don't know if you ever watched that.
I did. But she was the lead on In Plain Sight.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, show is just so funny. Huh?
She's hot.
Yeah, yeah. She's 49 and still looks great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so.
Mary McCormick.
Mary, yeah. So, this show was still hilarious. They just had their Christmas episode. I give it a hard push. It's a fun show to me, almost like The Middle is, where it's like the show I feel like is going to be on for 5-6 seasons probably. It's a great show. The cast is good. You know, everyone gets, you know, everything works well. She's an awesome mom where she's just kind of straight-laced and you know, like she'll say things like, well, how would you like fell down and break your, you fell down and broke your arm? You have an awful hard time getting around Disneyland. We're going to Disneyland? Of course not. You know, like she's just. Because it takes place in the 70s. Apparently they're Catholic, so they believe in just, you know, making, you know, having sex to make babies, basically, or whatever. But she's tired of it. Anyways.
Sperm is sacred.
Right. So it's kind of funny because they're religious, and religion comes up in the show, but it's not, it's used in a humorous way. Not like slapstick humorous, but like... Do you ever watch McHale's Navy with Bruce Campbell? The new one, Tom Arnold was McHale.
Yes.
Okay. And so Bruce Campbell and French Stewart, they do that whole bit about the poop deck and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So they use a nautical term. It's kind of done in that way. Like, it's not done in a slapstick way, but it's done in a very humorous way, the way they use religion on the show. It's funny. But it's not, like, in your face all the time. There's the whole story is about these kids and their interaction with the kids and the parents. Well, so... One of the kids, he's 18, he's got a girlfriend, and so basically, like, he wants to have sex with his girlfriend, and so he's got this plan, and so his dad's just like, look, we're going to go to the confessional now, and you're going to confess your sins. Oh, and look, down there at the pharmacy, they have condoms, they're behind the counter, you have to ask for them, but just confess your sins that you bought them after, you'll be fine, because Jesus died for our mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, so basically, like, come on, kid, wrap it up. If you're going to have sex, you're not married, okay? Yeah. And they just, but to him, but that's a sin, premarital sex sin. So you have to confess your sins at the same time. So that's how they're kind of using humor, or whatever.
Yep.
So mom is very nosy, very bossy, very whatever, and she wants to know what's going on. And basically, dad forbades her from talking to the son about it because he's the father, and it's 1970s, so she's not going to say anything. However, dad never says anything about not talking to the girlfriend who shows up, and so like.
Nice.
Like, she makes the comment of, like, oh, you know, Mary, I don't want to, he's like, oh, Cam, you're, like, you're the daughter I've always wanted but never carried to full term. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, like, she gets with the daughter and is, like, ruins her, basically cock blocks her son and takes the daughter to, like, the church fashion show because she bought an extra, she has an extra $9 ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't let that go to waste. And so now the girlfriend feels obligated to go. So they go together and they're having fun and everything. And then the mom's basically like, are you trying to have sex with my son? Or whatever, you know, like being through my stars like that. And she's like, no, what? And I went, okay, no. Like, she goes, besides, like, because the mom, basically the mom's like, that's the man's job to make the first move and everything like that. And she's like, and while she's explaining it to her, she's like, talk like, you know, that's the man's job to make the first move because it makes him feel good and da, 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 da. And it shows like her, like Mary's sitting in bed, like reading or whatever. And you see the husband kind of walk to the doorway and he's holding like a bottle of scope and he pours some in a cup and. And while he gargles whatever, she like puts her book down and fixes her hair and she walks out. I'm like, so that's his move is he gargles. That means it's time for sex. I have fresh breath, right? So she's like, well, it's a very empowering for you to make the first move yourself. You know, like as a woman, why can't you? Yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So she goes home that night and she's thinking about it. She's like, so honey, I think I'm going to go to bed now. Okay, well, you have fun. I'm going to watch, you know, because Johnny's on and then Sammy Davis Jr.'s on Johnny and I want to sit up and watch that. She's like, huh, okay. So she walks off and she comes back. She's got the scope and she gargles. She's, and she makes eyes. She kind of raises her eyebrows and walks off and he's sitting there and he's going, like, you can see, like, in his brain, he's pondering, like, wait a second. Wait, what does that mean? Holy crap, I'm going to get some. And he, like, jumps up and shuts the TV off and runs off, right?
Yeah.
And so then later on, like, it's like the next day and there's just the two of them in the kitchen. She's like, so did I do something different last night? Like, that made you, I mean, because I'll do that more.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it was, you know, because like he's basically like, I'll do whatever you want if we can do that more often. Like, and it's funny because she's like, wow, I do have the power. Yada, yada. So later on, it's like the end of the episode with like little credits rolling on the bottom of the screen, and they're sitting together on the couch watching TV and everything. And they're watching a TV show, and it cuts to a commercial, and it's for Scope. And they're talking about it. And then the guy starts gargling on the commercial. And when it does, it cuts them on the couch. And they both kind of like, ooh, hey, like they're getting turned on. And they kind of look at each other and get up and head off to the bedroom. So, like, apparently gargling
is the thing. Is
the hot button for both of them.
Okay.
So I just thought that was hilarious how they used that through the whole episode. But it's a fun show.
Nice.
It's a fun show. I enjoy it a lot. I give it a hard sell. Definitely worth watching. I think all the episodes to date this season are on Hulu right now.
Okay.
The Conners was good.
Yep.
No more Good Place right now.
Nope.
Did you watch Superstore?
I did not. It was on last night.
Okay. I actually watched it before you came over. We talked about it next week. Amy wants to get into management, and Glenn's going to be her mentor.
Why wouldn't she pick Dina?
She didn't want to pick either one. Glenn just took it upon himself, like Glenn does. Oh, I'm going to help you out so much. Let's start you a list of things you need to know. Let's start with typing on the home row keys. Like, it's hilarious. And then later on, she's watching a video about, welcome to tape 4 in the management series and blah, blah, blah. She's watching it at the store. And like, Garrett's like, when did he make these? He taped them last night. Tape 4. He made them last night. He stayed up to 11:30. Oh, wow. Well, he fell asleep through tape 1. And then he farted and woke himself up. I mean, yeah, it's a good episode.
Nice.
Yeah. You know what? The only other shows I watched were, because I caught up on Good Doctor and New Amsterdam, and then we watched The Rookie. I did not watch Legends of Tomorrow.
What?
Nope.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You did not watch Legends of Tmiamiao?
No, I did not watch Legends of Tmiamiao. I did not watch it.
That's horrible.
Well, I want to watch it. I just ran out of time. Wow, you're looking at me with disdain in your face. What?
Of all the stuff, you're like, I had so much free time, I could watch all this stuff. And you didn't watch one episode. You watched 8 episodes of Night Flyers.
I know.
But you didn't watch one episode of Legends.
Here's the deal. I still had 3 doubles this week, okay?
On the week
that
we had Elseworlds.
I watched Elseworlds. I still have 3 doubles this week on my tablet at work. The CW app comes in very quiet. When it's cranked up all the way loud, I still can't hear it very good. It's not enjoyable.
My friend, you need a new tablet.
You want to give me $150, I'll gladly buy a new tablet. I want a 10.
Where are you going to get an iPad?
I'm not going to buy an iPad.
What are you going to buy?
Kindle Fire 10. Why are you rolling your eyes?
Where do you think your volume issues are coming from?
It's only on the CW app. When I watch the sci-fi app, have it turned a quarter way up, perfect. That's why I watch
the Night Flyers. How does the BBC app work?
BBC app is the same way. I think it's whoever makes them. Because the TBS app, the TBS, BBC, America, and CW app are all very quiet on my tablet.
You literally just looked me right in the eye and went, it is only the CW app that this happens on. It is only the CW app. It is the CW app, the BBC app, and the TBS app.
Okay, I'm just both then. But what I mean is the BBC America, the CW, and the TBS ones come in very quiet. Oh, and IFC.
Yes, I'm sure that has nothing to do with the Kindle.
Hold on. But Netflix, Hulu, Sci-Fi. Sci-Fi. The DC one. Amazon Prime when I had it that for those couple months. Thanks, Wesley. HBO, Stars, all come in perfectly fine. I can have the volume a quarter of the way up, can hear it perfectly, no issue. If it's any louder than that, it's Jeremy style, okay? It's too loud for the whole room, but I don't give a fuck, so I leave it loud. That's Jeremy style.
So I'm betting that it has something to do with their sound encoding. It's not necessarily the app, it's probably the Kindle and the way that it processes it. Like, if it doesn't do stereo, like if it does mono, then it might only be picking up on one of the channels. I don't know.
Well, like, all right, because you say that. The Kindle 7 I had had mono.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the CW worked fine on it. And then my new Kindle, the 8, has stereo sound,
mm-hmm.
and now it's not. So I haven't gone to a 7 somewhere to see if it sounds good on there.
You should try that. Because
my kids have 7s. I'll give it a try.
Yeah. And the other thing is maybe one of the speakers is blown.
No, because...
Oh, because the other ones work fine.
The other ones work fine, yeah. If it happened on all the apps, that'd be different. But it's... I don't use the other ones a lot. Like, I use Hulu, WWE Network, New Japan Pro Wrestling. All those, like, they all work just fine. The loudness of them and everything like that, you know, as well. They're all perfectly fine. If I want... And YouTube. Anything on YouTube is fine. It's, you know, it's just these, those other few apps for whatever reason. So that's why I watch that stuff at home, because so I can hear it and enjoy it. So I watch BBC America at home, because I did watch Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. So I can hear it and enjoy it.
Did it ever work for you?
Well, like, yes. Yeah, the next morning I could watch. I didn't because I had a double, but I'm just saying I checked it out the next morning when I got home.
Well,
I went to work.
I will say this about Legends of Tumiamiam.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. It's one of the best shows on TV, practically.
Yep. It was their mid-season finale.
Yeah.
They had some great lines in there. One, they did a nod to the Elseworlds.
Yeah.
Because they actually said, you know, oh, we just got a call from, I think, like, we got calls from Barry Allen and Oliver Queen. And somebody goes, oh, must be time for the annual crossover. Oh, no, thank you. That thing is tiring. That was it. They were just like, nope, we're out. So that was great. It was a well done episode with a lot of alternate realities.
We did see Gary in Elseworlds.
We saw Gary in Elseworlds. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I haven't decided. Like, what do you think? Like, are we going to cap this off with Doctor Who, or are we going to cap this off with Elseworlds? Because both of them.
Do we want to wait a week on Elseworlds? Let everyone watch it who hasn't watched it.
Well, don't forget, we're recording this right now on 12/14.
Yeah,
but it won't be going up until...
I think you'd put it up tomorrow or something.
Well, hold on.
I have a lot of notes about Elseworlds. I took notes while I watched it.
So... No, I didn't take any notes. I'm just trying to think. Like, I have posted... The one about Oliver.
Yeah.
Hold on. Keep talking.
I don't know. Okay. Well, I guess I'll talk
Were
about
you
some
Were you about
news.
To say I don't have anything to say?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I was.
As many years as I have known you, I have never, ever known you to not have something to say.
I watched Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah, see, the last one that I posted was episode 138.
Didn't we record 139?
Yeah.
Why haven't you posted it yet?
Because I'm doing them 1 week at a time, remember?
Oh.
And because of your fucked up schedule.
It is fucked up.
We end up with these weird overlap weeks, and then they even themselves out as we go along. So basically, if we talked about Elseworlds tonight,
you're
not going to
hear
it until next week.
Okay.
Yeah, so tomorrow morning I'll be posting 139. How's that for time travel? So you guys are listening to this, and you're like, whoa. But we're listening to 140, but they were talking about it the day before they posted 139.
Yeah. Okay, so I watched Mission Impossible Fallout.
How was that, other than 2.5 hours?
Okay, so the story was exceptionally predictable. I mean, horrifically predictable.
Oh, horrifically?
I mean, like, the village predictable. Okay.
Wow.
But the action was good.
Okay.
Fight scenes were good. I found it very enjoyable. I just wasn't surprised by any of the plot twists and turns in it, really, mm-hmm. for the most part. But yeah, I thought it was good. There was one thing that surprised me.
Okay.
But it wasn't that critical of a part in the movie. Because seeing how, like, I watched this and I already know they're filming the next one. You know, like, Ethan's not going to die.
Right.
So, when the ending rolls around, it's like, well, you know, he's clearly going to succeed because...
because
they're filming the next
works.
One. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Good.
There's some great action in it. Some good fight scenes in it. Again, the story is a bit predictable.
Was it awesome seeing Henry Cavill kick his ass? That one scene in the preview that you saw over and over again where he just, like, snaps his arms.
Yeah.
And, like, loosen up his shirt. Oh.
They weren't fighting each other.
Oh.
They're fighting a different guy. They're fighting a third person.
Okay.
But it was a good fight scene.
Okay.
The bathroom fight scene was an excellent fight scene, yes.
Okay.
No doubt about it. So.
Good.
But, yeah, I enjoyed it. It's worth checking out.
All right.
Did you watch any movies?
Yeah. I watched one.
What?
Puka.
Oh, you're ahead of me on the Blumhouse Into the Dark holiday seasons.
Yep.
I haven't watched that one yet.
You haven't watched the... You still
haven't watched the Halloween. I was like, okay, I have time to catch up on these now.
So you still have to watch Thanksgiving. You've seen Halloween. Yes. With the body.
Yes.
Thanksgiving, which I told you was.
Yeah.
Puka? Terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't know what was going on half the time. By the end, like in the last couple of minutes, the twist kind of gets revealed. But at the same time, you're going, what the hell did I just watch? It's the same kind of thing you were describing with Night Flyers. Like, I didn't go back and rewatch it.
Yeah.
But I'm just looking at it and I'm going, the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, it's too bad.
Basically, Puka is this year's new holiday toy.
Yeah.
And the main character is going to be the guy inside the Puka costume. Puka, you never know what he's going to do. Puka fights and Puka hugs and Puka laughs and Puka cries. And he's basically like his eyes are, they look like old school headlights.
Yep.
And he has this weird thing on his chest. And I don't think they had one consistent writing team throughout this entire movie. Like, I think that they had somebody who wrote the beginning part and somebody who wrote the middle part and somebody who wrote the end part. And then they kept them in separate rooms and beat them with whips.
Oh, geez. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Because
it doesn't seem like a fun way to spend the day.
No, it was a really, I can't even call it messed up. It was just really dumb.
Hmm.
But I want you to watch it because I want to, like,
oh, okay.
See,
all right.
I want to see if you see the same thing or if you go, dude, I understood that. I thought it was good.
Okay. I'll check it out then.
Yeah.
But
I watched that right before I came over here tonight because I was like, I got to have at least one movie. And I was like, that'll be easy. And I wish I had watched something else.
It's kind of too bad, though.
Yeah, it really is.
Because, you know, it started off strong.
Yeah.
With
the body was great.
Yeah, the body was great. And then you were meh on the Thanksgiving one, and now you're like, this one's terrible. Hopefully they rebound.
I hope so, because otherwise I have no hope for the rest of the season. But other than that, I've got Doctor Who, Elseworlds, and then one thing of news and some trailers. Okay. What else have you got for, like, movies and TV shows?
Pretty much the same thing, Doctor Who, Elseworlds, and then trailers, and then I have kind of a bunch of news.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have a bunch of news.
No, that was me moving the chair.
Oh, okay. so I have a bunch of news to talk about.
Basically. So you're saying that you have a bunch of news? I just want to recap.
I have what I would quantify as a bunch.
Now, are we talking like a bunch as in like a bunch of grapes? Or are we talking a bunch as in like a tightly knit bunch of hemorrhoids? That was a good sound effect to go with that.
I was taken back. I would say like a good amount.
Mike.
Yes.
Would you say that you have a plethora of news?
I have a finite amount of news that's greater than a few, but not many. I don't know what I'm going with, okay?
I set you up. I literally gave you a line directly from the Three Amigos.
I know I did. I know you did. Now that I'm thinking about it.
I'm so disappointed.
Well,
not quite as disappointed when you said that you hadn't watched Legends of Tomiamiao, but...
Okay. Do you want to talk about news and shit?
Yeah, let's talk about trailers. And we'll end with Doctor Who and Elseworlds.
Right. Let's talk about trailers.
All right.
Godzilla, King of Monsters.
Oh, my God.
Looks awesome.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Just go watch it, people.
Yeah.
Go watch it.
This is going to be a great fucking movie.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Oh.
I watched it.
They're all there.
Yes, they were all there, weren't they? All the classic movie monsters, and they're talking like, so we want to make Godzilla our pet? No, we're going to be his pet. Because there's kaiju that want to save us and kaiju that want to kill us.
And nobody knows who does what.
But we do know that Godzilla is the savior.
Yeah.
So, because he saved the world in the first one. I'm sorry, I know. Gosh. In the first one we didn't see Godzilla a lot, you know? And that was the whole point. They wanted, like,
save. I saw him reveal.
You didn't watch the first one.
Correct.
But the scene at the end, when Godzilla, yeah, It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it. You got to watch it.
Go and say it.
When Godzilla's got the fighting the other monster and literally breathes the Godzilla fire.
The plasma breath.
Into its mouth. Nice. Like holds its mouth open. He just fucking wrecks it that way. That was awesome.
Nice. That's why he's king of monsters.
Exactly. I watched another trailer. I think I shared this with you. Triple Frontier. It's on Netflix original.
Yeah.
Stars Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaac, Charles Heumann, and the premise listed here is loyalties are tested when five friends, all military veterans, unite to rob a South African drug lord, unleashing a chain of unintended consequences. Looks good, though.
Looks good. They basically, their premise is that, you know, for years we've been doing this kind of work and not getting paid, well, they're military guys. They got paid.
But not like, you know. A lot.
So now they're like, well, now we're going to use our skills to get ourselves paid. Again, we got paid, but whatever.
Right. They want to set themselves up, and so they're going to rob a guy.
Right.
Looks good, though.
Yep.
I watched a trailer for a movie called What Keeps You Alive.
Blood.
Oxygen. Yeah.
Food. Water.
It was on a list of, like, the best horror movies of 2018.
Oh.
And I hadn't heard of this one.
I hadn't either.
And it's about a lesbian couple on their first anniversary.
Okay.
And they go to this secluded remote cabin in the woods. One of them is apparently a sociopath is going to hunt the other one. It looks really good.
So they've been together for a year and it's never come up that one of them was a sociopath? Sociopath or psychopath? Because if they're hunting, it sounds more like a psychopath.
The premise is sociopath.
Huh.
It looks really good, though.
Okay.
Like, it looks good. It looks like it was done well and, like, a good, you know, it's got one of those, I've seen you in other stuff type of thing. But it looks good.
Okay.
So, going back in time, Katie Sagal, old Peg Bundy herself, was on The Conners this week.
Nice.
As a love interest for Dan. She had the hots for Dan. Dan was oblivious and turned her down once he found out what was going on.
Interesting.
And he's like, but can we still be friends? And she's like the bartender at the bar he goes to. And she's like, your free beer days are over, because I was really hoping to get some action out of that. So it was kind of cool to see Peg Bundy.
Nice.
Show. And Matthew Broderick's on the show.
Oh.
It's Jackie's boyfriend.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's a like an uppity, crunchy, better than you, like, leech.
Oh.
Yeah. One of those, like, he's spent his whole life in school finding some other people to pay for him type of thing.
Oh.
Yeah, he's really detestable, actually.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Jackie loves him.
Of course.
Anyways, all right. That's all my trailers. What'd you got for trailers?
I watched the second trailer for Once Upon a Deadpool.
Oh, okay.
Which picks up exactly where the other one left off.
Yeah.
Except this time, it extends it out, and Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool goes ballistic on Fred Savage about him mocking Nickelback.
Oh, yeah?
And then he defends Nickelback with facts.
Oh, wow.
You know, he's like, what, do you think you're too cool for school? You think you're in with all the cool kids because you're picking on Nickelback? And he's like, no, but, you know, it's just truth. And he's like, well, how about this? And, like, he turns to the camera and he's like, how about this? And he goes on, you know, he's like, you know, 40 million fans, 40 million records sold or something like that, you know, this many awards, this many this, 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 you know. And Fred Savage is just like, wow. I'm sorry, I didn't realize they were real. He's like, you know, Billboard's 11th greatest musical act ever. And he's like, I didn't realize, I'm sorry. Deadpool's like, yeah, well, whatever. And they just kind of sit there in silence for a minute. And then Fred Savage is like, never made it as a blind man. And then Deadpool starts singing with him. And then pretty soon they're just like rocking out. And then the music starts overhead. And they both look up. They're like, what the hell? So it was just, it was kind of funny to see that.
Okay, so this is making me want to go see this movie.
It's already open.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want to go see it. Like, it's 10:30.
Well, I saw a review today that said, if you've seen Deadpool 2, you've seen this movie.
Yeah.
They were like, it's the same movie, just with a few extra scenes cut in. And all of it edited down to be PG-13, etc. Yeah, you're going to be disappointed.
You think so?
Well, I'm talking about looking at the showtimes.
Oh. I thought you meant we're going to see the movie.
Well, maybe that too. I mean, it's Deadpool, but it's going to be like the tame version of Deadpool, the Disney version. But while you're looking that up, I'll say I saw a preview for season 6 of The Blacklist.
Oh,
which is coming back.
Yes.
And it wasn't done up like a trailer. It was one of those where they interview the actors and they're like, you know, in this season, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, in this season, Liz is bound and determined and she's with her sister there.
Yeah.
You know, Fiona Dourif.
Yeah.
She is bound and determined to find out who this man really is.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know that, you know, he burned the bones at the end of the last one.
Right.
But he doesn't know that she found out that those were the bones of the real Raymond Reddington. And so who is this guy?
Yeah.
And so that's her mission this season. I don't know if the FBI is still going to have the task force and if they're still going to be doing that. I hope so, because I really like those characters as well. But it made me excited because I was like, more Blacklist, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's all I got for trailers.
News.
News.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan's returning to Supernatural for the 300th episode.
I saw that.
Yeah. That's all I know.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been kind of cagey about it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. I wonder if it'll just be like a ghost cameo or something.
That's what I kind of
thought. Maybe like a flashback or...
Something, yeah. Jodie Whittaker is returning, confirmed, for season 12 of Doctor Who, which comes out in 2020.
Awesome.
2020.
Well, that just means that we're... Think about it. How long did we go between Capaldi and Whittaker?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's 1 year so far, because we're almost into 2019.
Right.
So if it's the beginning of 2020, we're all set. If it's mid-2020, okay, so we got a year and a half.
You know, it's weird about this season of Doctor Who. I loved it.
But it was over
fantastic.
Too fast.
But it's like, we had 10 episodes so fast, it seems like every story was a standalone. And we established characters, but we didn't establish, like, every other season of Doctor Who has had an ongoing storyline that strung the seasons along. This one didn't have that.
No.
We had Tim Shaw in the first episode and Tim Shaw in the last episode, and that's it.
Yeah.
But he didn't string them together.
No. No, there was, it wasn't like the crack in the universe that was always showing up.
And even then, they could be separate episodes, standalone episodes, without one happening without the other.
Yep.
Or they could change the character in the last one, and
to be just
any other villain, and you just wouldn't have the Graham storyline of wanting to kill him,
right?
Which was minor.
It's still brilliant.
Yes. So I'm not criticizing it, but it's just it felt odd.
Yep.
Because we didn't have those chain of events holding the whole series together.
Right. I see that.
All right. So I got some news on shit coming to Netflix in January.
Okay.
Like we said, Travelers season 3 is back.
Yeah.
It's on. But in January, Punisher season 2 is coming sometime in January.
Right.
And soon to be canceled in February.
Exactly.
Probably.
Yep.
There's a flick called Hell or High Water. It's with Jeff Bridges and Chris Pine. It's about bank robbers. It's coming on January 1st. Apparently it came out a couple of years ago. I don't remember this movie at all.
Nope, me either.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah. Jeff Bridges is the cop hunting them down, and Chris Pine and his brother are these bank robbers. It's kind of like a modern-day Western, if you will.
Okay.
All the Indiana Jones flicks are coming to Netflix. Also on January 1st, January 9th, we're getting Solo.
Did you just say on January 1st, January 9th, we're getting Solo?
All the Indiana Jones flicks are coming also on January 1st.
Okay.
And on January 9th, we're getting Solo, Star Wars story. January 11th, we're getting Friends from College season 2, which I didn't know they were making a second season. It's the one either. with Fred Savage and...
Yeah, I remember watching it and being like, I think.
I watched it.
Did I like it?
Colby Smulders is in it, I believe.
Yeah. Maybe I liked it.
I enjoyed it, but it didn't blow me away. But I watched a second season of it.
Did that have Keegan-Michael Key in it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a show called Sex Education.
I read something about that.
I can't find a trailer on it or anything like that. It stars Gillian Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
This is the synopsis I found online. It says it follows a socially awkward high school virgin.
Not Gillian Anderson.
No. Who lives with his sex therapist mother,
yes.
Gillian Anderson. He teams up with a whip smart bad girl Maeve to set up a clinic to deal with their fellow students' weird and wonderful problems.
Could be fun.
Yeah. I don't care if Gillian Anderson's like 50 now. If she's doing a sexy role, I'm all for it. Because I'm older now myself, so my taste has changed in ladies.
So you're saying you didn't like her earlier in life?
No, I did.
Oh, okay.
But when I was 20, maybe I wouldn't care for a girl in her 50s.
Oh, I see.
But now that I'm 40 almost, it's cool. The Last Laugh. There's a movie coming also on the 11th of January, I mean. It stars Chevy Chase and Richard Dreyfuss. And it's about a comedian and his manager, and he's coming out of retirement after 50 years for one last tour.
Which one's which?
I don't know.
No.
I think I Chevy Chase Chevy's is the comedian. Yeah. So.
Do you think Dan Harmon will have a role in that?
Probably not. On January 18th, we're getting a film called Close. It's with Noomi Rapace. It's a Netflix original.
Okay.
I have no idea what it is. But they advertised it. They showed a little clips of it.
So do you think it's Close or Close?
I don't know if it's Close or Close, but it looks sci-fi-ish.
Because if it was C-L-O-T-H-E-S, then it's definitely
Close. No, it's C-L-O-S-E.
Okay.
There it is. On the 25th of January, we're getting a Korean TV series called Kingdom. It's like a period piece thing. It looks great. Of course, it's going to be in Korean. And then we're getting on the 25th also a Netflix series called Black Earth Rising.
Interesting.
Sounds sci-fi, right?
Sounds it.
It's not.
No.
It's a...
is this about slavery?
Nope.
Okay.
I'll just read it. It was on BBC Two.
Okay.
John Goodman's in it. Yeah. He doesn't have...
Does he play Earth?
He does not have a British accent. I'll tell you what. It says the story centers on Kate Ashby, who works as a legal investigator in the London law chambers of Michael Ennis. When Kate's adoptive mother, Eve, takes on a case prosecuting an African militia leader, the story pulls Michael and Kate into a journey that will upend their lives forever.
Okay. I probably won't watch that.
Yeah.
Ashby, that's definitely a British last name.
Kate Ashby. She's a Rwandan-born legal investigator. Played by Michaela Coyle. Anyways, the trailer looked really good.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
And that's what's coming to Netflix in January.
You missed something.
What?
Sometime in January. I don't know when it is. I want to say like around the 18th. We're getting some Monty Python.
I saw that, but it's the Holy Grail.
I think we're getting more than that. I think we're getting a dump of Monty Python.
I didn't see new Monty Python. Dude, I just saw like old Monty Python.
Dude. One of their members is dead. The rest of them are almost
They
dead.
Just did a new thing. They just did a new special.
The one that was barely alive or...
Yes, you know, something like that. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
I saw it.
Where?
Brunswick. I went...
Oh, you went to the theaters and saw it. That's right. That's right. Yeah. I thought you meant you saw it like on Netflix or something.
Oh, no.
That's like... If they would have had that coming, I would have talked about that. But we're getting a bunch of other Monty Python. Yes. Holy Grail, Life of Brian, probably. We're getting a bunch of them.
Is that the rest of your news?
That's it. You got any news?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. From April 5th. Anyway. I only have one piece of news. And it's kind of a sad one. But basically, the official word has been given that Netflix Marvel Heroes can't appear anywhere else for 2 years after their cancellation. So basically, Daredevil has been canceled. He's got to be on the shelf for 2 years before he can show up in any of Disney's streaming stuff or Marvel Cinematic Universe type thing. Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Punisher and Jessica Jones when they get to them.
That sucks.
That does suck. 2 years for them to just do. Now, the only advantage to that is that it gives Disney an opportunity to take those 2 years and be like, what are we going to do with these? You know?
Do we bring back the same actors? Do we revamp everything?
They're not going to bring back the same actors. I can tell you that right now.
That sucks because Punisher, I mean, Daredevil was really, like, with this season 3, with Kingpin, I mean, it was really getting good and really getting into it. Like, that's too bad.
Yeah.
It's like they're just hitting their stride on these seasons of shows.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go back to fuck Luke Cage, but, like, Iron Fist was great.
You know? We seem to be some of the only people that think so, because a lot of people hated the second season.
I thought the Iron Fist was fantastic. I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it. So, oh, well. It is what it is.
So, Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Doctor.
Tell us about Doctor Who, Mr. John.
Mr. John.
Huh? Yeah.
I like the sound of now. So, Doctor Who was the season finale, Jodie Whittaker's first season. Glad that's your right arm that you're grabbing, because if it was your left arm, I'd be worried you were having a heart attack.
I just had an X-ray on my shoulder, and I apparently have spurs.
That jingle, jangle, jingle?
That fucking hurt.
Yeah. Bone spurs.
Yeah. And apparently they're pushing on some nerves and tendons and stuff.
What's the solution to that? Okay.
Cut me open, take them out.
So, this episode is called The Battle of Ranskor av Kolos. Because, you know, that's what it is. It opens on these two, we assume they're aliens, because pretty much everybody in Doctor Who is an alien, unless you see that it's Earth. Mm-hmm. So you get these two people who have, like, these tattoos and weird things on their faces, and they've gone to this desolate planet. They're talking about how, you know, this is what they're here to do. It's very vague. Older woman and a younger guy. He starts, like, his eyes start glowing orange, and he starts making all the rock in the area, like, spin up into this funnel, like he's going to form it into something. But then all of a sudden they have to stop because this light is flashing behind them. They turn around and they see some being, like, kind of hunched over down on the ground, and they're like, and then we get a black screen, and we get 3,407 years later. Very arbitrary.
It's very specific. I mean,
because usually it'll be like, you know, 300 years later or something like that. But this is 3,407 years later. But basically, the doctor and companions, they end up going to this planet. Okay, I wanted to make sure you were still with me here.
I am.
Okay, so they end up going to this planet. For all intents and purposes, this didn't feel like a season finale.
You know, it didn't. And that's kind of what I was touching on earlier. Like,
it felt like a standard episode, like any other Doctor Who episode.
It's almost like they're banking on the fact that, the New Year's Eve special, which is only in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, that's the finale.
Right. So basically, they go to this planet. There's disturbances, energy signatures. They find this guy who can't remember his name. He can't remember anything. The doctor basically says that the way that this planet is made up, if they don't wear these neural inhibitors on their heads, then the planet will attack their minds and basically make them start going crazy, lose their memories, etc. So they meet a guy, Robert Batharian, who has lost his memory, can't remember who he is, can't remember what he's doing there. He actually is violent towards them until they hit him with one of these neural dampeners. And
she uses some reasoning.
Yeah.
First, and then he puts that on.
Yeah. She basically convinces him to put it on. So he doesn't remember, he still doesn't remember who he is, but he's like starting to piece some stuff together, and he remembers that he had a ship. And that there are people there, but he doesn't remember everything, and he doesn't remember why he, like, was nervous about coming to this place. Meanwhile, he's got this thing.
It's a big white crystal.
It's a MacGuffin. You know, it's a big crystal with a friggin' black orb in the middle, and it vibrates a little bit, and the doctor's like, oh my god, you know, it's impossibly dense, but I can lift it up. Why can I lift it up? It's impossibly dense. Well, and so she straps it to her backpack, so she's carrying this thing around, plus a backpack. And people kind of separate and go their own separate ways, you know. Now, I'm trying to remember, did we learn at this point, essentially, the big baddie on this planet that's causing trouble is Tim Shaw.
But he goes by the Creator.
Yes, he's the
Creator. And we find out he's Tim Shaw before they head out because he contacts Paul Tracky.
That's
right. And be like, bring me my item that you have of mine.
They can't see his face, but they recognize his voice.
Yes, and then they show him one of his crewmate members, and they kill her.
Yes.
You have two crew members left. You have until sunset to bring me my item, blah, blah, blah. And then that's when the doctor's like, well, it's Tim Shaw. Yep. It can't be.
And that's why, so when they
and separate, that's why Graham
basically Graham is like, doctor. This was a really, like, I really liked his interactions with the doctor because he was like, doctor, I've got to tell you, this is the guy that's responsible for Grace's death. I never thought I saw him. I'd see him again. If I see him, I'm going to kill him. And she's like, if you do that, Graham, I can't have you on my ship. And he's like,
okay.
But
you know, because at first she says, like, you need to go back to the ship. And he's like, no, I'm going to do this.
Because he started off by telling her, I'm so appreciative of everything you've done. All the places we've gone, all the things that we've seen, everything.
All the adventures we've had. Thank you. Yep. However.
And you're right. She's like, you need to go back to the ship now. And he's like, I can't do that. And she's like, I can't have you travel with me if you kill him, if you are a murderer. And he's like, okay. He's like, I know what I've got to do.
Right.
And so he kind of goes off with Ryan, and she sticks with Yaz and this guy. I'm just going to keep calling him Robert Bethery. But
I'll track you.
Sorry.
It's okay. We call Castle.
That's true.
But here's the thing with this is, and again, Ryan is now trying to talk Graham out of what he's going to do. He's like, Graham wouldn't want you to do this.
Yep.
And he's like, your grandmother would want to be alive.
Yeah.
Grace would want to be alive. That's what she'd want. And she would be if it wasn't for him.
Yep.
You know, and Ryan's like, but you can't do this. You can't sacrifice everything. You know, give up everything. He's like, I don't have anything. Well, we have each other, Granddad.
Yeah. Remember, like, we're family. We love each other.
You know, he goes, remember, we're family, you know, Granddad. He's like, well, it took you long enough to say that. Well, I am now, and I love you. What'd you just say? Don't make me repeat it.
No, he doesn't say don't make me repeat it. He's like, don't pretend like you couldn't hear it just for effect.
Yeah, that's right, which is even better.
Yeah.
But Graham is like, it's like, eventually that's what stops him from doing what he was going to do.
Right.
But at that time, in that moment, he was like, okay, well, I love you too, but I'm going to do this.
Right.
I have to do this, which I can understand that. He killed the woman he loved.
Right.
Yeah. And he's found his point for revenge.
Technically, he didn't. She climbed up there.
She died as a result of his actions and his mind.
Right.
If Tim Shaw hadn't showed up, this one, Grace would still be with us.
Yes. Yeah. So then the doctor.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go right ahead.
You have to think he literally just had to give her up again. So it's a fresh burn on his mind. As far as we don't know how much time has passed between episode 9 and 10.
Right.
But for all intents and purposes.
Or how many adventures they've had.
For all intents and purposes, to us, it's a fresh. You know, Grace is now very much freshly on his mind.
Yes.
And he just had to give her up again.
Yep. So, meanwhile, they've gone off to do their thing. They're getting ambushed by the robots that we saw on that.
Well, they're sucked aboard the vessel or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've got those autonomous robots that we saw on the planet with the ghost monument.
Are they calling them cyberbots?
Yeah. Yeah, which is a little odd.
That's another thing we never saw in this season at all, is any of the old doctoral stalwarts. Everything we met was kind of new. No Cybermen, no
Daleks.
Which is kind of again, I love this season. I love Jodie Whittaker. These are 10 fast episodes, but like we talked about earlier, there's no overconnecting storylines.
Right.
They went by so fast. I mean, so fast. And again, all new things, no old Doctor Who things. I mean, it's just kind of weird.
Yep. So they're dealing with these cyberbots on the ship. The Doctor and Yaz discover the aliens.
Yes.
Or one of the aliens.
Yes, race, the Ux.
Yes, the Ux. And kind of like with the Doctor in the episode, It Takes You Away, you know, she's losing her mind. She's like, oh my God, there are only ever two Ux in the entire universe. And they're the most powerful things. You know, they can create matter. They create reality in front of them. And she's just like, but there are always two.
Why do
I only see one? And the old woman is like, she's not helping her. You know, she's like, no. But basically they discover that there are more of those crystals and they're planets.
Yeah, eventually Paul Tracy remembers that what's inside them is a planet because these five planets did something to Tim Shaw.
Yeah, he was taking out his vengeance upon them.
And Earth was going to be number six.
Yep. So he's basically, Tim Shaw, you know, goes off on his Bond villain rant when the Doctor finally catches up with him and talks to her about how she left him for dead.
Yeah.
And that he is very weak, but here, he's worshipped as a god, so he has used all of the technology of his people in conjunction with these two
the Uxes.
Aliens that can create reality around themselves, and he's had them do his bidding.
And he's hooked up to all these tubes to keep him alive.
Yes. Yeah. But she's like, so you see all these crashed ships on the planet everywhere.
Yeah.
And she's like, so basically you built a weapon and people came here to stop you and you died. And he's like, we're in the weapon.
Yeah.
You know, this monument that you came into, this is the weapon. And we finally see the younger Ux.
Yeah.
You know, the old woman goes to him because he's like, I've picked my next target. It's Earth. Carry out my will. So she goes to the younger one, and he's like, no, he's basically crucified. He's
strapped. Yeah, so he's chained up, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, this is not what we should be doing. And she's like, the creator, because they're a highly religious race, yes. And everything is their faith. Yeah. So their faith told them this guy came down there because he is their creator.
Right.
And he rolled right into that. So basically, she's like, it's the creator's will. We're doing this. They open up a rift.
Keep going.
Okay.
I just realized I forgot something. That's all.
Oh, okay. So they open up a rift. I was just sitting here talking to Mike and looked over and he mouthed, oh my fucking God. So, you know.
We're having a Christmas party tomorrow with my dad's side of the family and I forgot to buy my nephew a present.
Oops.
I just, like, for whatever reason, I looked at my other nephew's present sitting on the table and it dawned on me, ah, shit.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
So basically they open up a rift.
Yeah.
And Earth is going to be the next one because, as he says, Earth was where he experienced a defeat.
Yeah.
And so he is going to take vengeance by destroying them. Well, meanwhile, these planets aren't meant to be contained in little crystal spheres.
Which is why the planet is the way it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's being destroyed and they're all vibrating because that much mass can't be held in one area. Even though they're shrunken down to the size of, you know, like a softball or a grapefruit.
Yep.
They can't be held there, so that mass is throwing off this planet.
And on the other side of things, Graham and Ryan have found all these people in stasis chambers.
Mm-hmm.
And there it's Paul Tracky's crew, it's people from the other ships, it's all these prisoners that have been caught. They haven't been killed, they've been put in these stasis chambers. And so they start letting them out.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim Shaw sees this. And he also sees the doctor getting through to one of the Ux about why they shouldn't be doing this to the Earth and these other planets and this and that. And so he breaks free of his tubes and stuff to go hunt them down.
Yep. He's going to take matters into his own hand, even if it kills him.
Yep.
Because he needs these.
His ego needs to be stroked that hard for these people that wronged him.
Yep. And he needs these tubes to live, so he's separating himself from them. So, of course, we get the showdown between him and Graham. You know, Graham's standing there, and basically, Tim Shaw, like, tells him, you're too weak, you'll never do this, you're pathetic, blah, blah, blah. And Graham just, you know, he's cool.
Yeah,
Graham is a cool
guy. He really is, yeah.
You know, just like in It Takes You Away, when he was just like, ah, you were so close.
Yeah.
But Grace never would have done that. You know, in this one, he's just like, no, I'm better than that. And Ryan comes in to stop him, and Graham shoots Tim Shaw.
Yeah, Tim Shaw goes after Ryan.
Yep.
So he shoots him.
And
I love the interaction.
No, and he goes, but I only shot him in the foot just to slow him down, to stop him.
Yeah. You shot him only in the foot.
Yeah. He's like, no, only in the foot, just to stop him. And they end up immobilizing him and holding him at gunpoint, putting him in a stasis chamber. So he's still alive.
But he's in stasis now.
On that planet.
On that planet.
And they left him behind. Everybody else left the planet.
Because the combination of the Ux and the TARDIS are able to take the other five planets and put them back where they belong.
Yeah, and it's worth watching, but oh my God, like, just trying it's a Doctor Who moment. Because Doctor Who, if nothing else, is filled with moments where I almost have to watch it as a child.
Well, yeah. See, Doctor Who, for all of its... what it is, it's on at 6 o'clock over in the BBC, so families can watch it.
Right. So basically, they save the day, and then the Ux decide that they want to go to another planet.
Yep.
You know, the young one is like, we need to see more of this universe. And she's like, but what about our faith? And he's like, maybe this is what our faith is.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's taking us. Maybe we're supposed to meet the doctor so that we could go someplace else.
And they leave with Paul Tracky and his crew, because Paul Tracky wants to finish his mission, that is, and return all those people to their planets and wherever they're from.
Yep.
And the doctor and her fam.
Fam.
Yeah.
I thought we weren't going to do that. I like it.
Yeah.
Yaz is a big fan.
They head off in the TARDIS for another adventure.
Yeah.
That's the season finale,
that's
technically.
It. Yeah.
We have the
but without that thread running through the whole season, yeah. It doesn't feel like anything got resolved.
Right, yeah. We didn't really have that finality. And maybe they just like, we're going to fund the season and establish everything. Yeah. The next season we'll have an overarching storyline.
Right.
Who knows?
Who knows, indeed.
I loved Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor. I truly did.
Absolutely.
I hope we get more of the two seasons.
Yes, I do too.
I mean,
we've been averaging three seasons per Doctor for the past three.
Basically,
so.
Yeah. So.
So, we're coming to you from the future. This is Future John and Future Mike talking.
Ooh.
Yeah, we just got done watching the Timeless
Finale. For now.
But we're not talking about that now. We're just here to let you know that even though we talked in this episode about how we were going to go over the Elseworlds crossover event, we've decided that, well, we looked at the file size and we were like, holy crap, this is like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, yeah. And then we said, holy crap, we literally have nothing to watch next week because there's nothing on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we decided we'll take like that. Was it hour and 14 minutes of Elseworlds talk and make it its own episode?
Yeah. So right now we're kind of recording this to tack on to the end of episode 140.
Yeah.
And let you know that Elseworlds will be coming next week, same bat time, same bat channel.
And realistically, I'm about to hit stop and then hit record again so we can record the intro to 141.
Which is awesome. So I guess we'll talk to you next week in a few seconds.
A few seconds for us.
Yeah.
All right.
So who are you on Twitter?
I'm Superstar Mel.
And I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that's the exit.
For now.
140.
See ya.